Hello, welcome to The Honest War Gamer. I'm your host, Rob, and with me is a tall glass of OJ, Mr. Owen Jackson.
Wow, what a build-up. Hey, Rob. How you doing, man?
Terribly. I'm doing terribly. It's a Monday. For some reason, even though I've literally not touched the computer, first the camera wouldn't work to you, would it? And then the audio, and then it wouldn't work on the whole computer, then the computer wouldn't restart. It's been a day. I'm sorry we're late. Not Owen, all me. Age of Sigmar Stat Center, Monday, every day, 12 p.m. probably. Every Monday, 12 p.m. Sorry, Owen. How are you? Are you well?
I'm good, man. Thank you very much for, we discussed this lie, because obviously it's been evident that I've been doing my hair for the last 45 minutes. That's why we're so late, isn't it? Because what a fucking mess. Please, I need them to open the hairdressers again. But no, apart from that, I'm all right. Yeah, I've got a bit of a headache today. But other than that, yeah, I'm good. Been playing Warhammer, thinking about Warhammer, talking about Warhammer, and ignoring the realities of our current predicament, which, is fun, right?
Yeah, I got bummed out by it yesterday. I spoke about that a bit yesterday because I was, like I told you, I was super excited about new Death Guard stuff. I was like, yes! And I was like, I can't do anything with this. I can't play it. This sucks. So not as much as poor Nick, who gave himself like 30 Marines with double plague knives, and then they took that away as an option, which is way worse. So, but yeah, generally, yeah. But listen, Stat Center, Age of Sigmar, all things that I love. Monday, I got the Age of Sigmar show tonight. I get to talk to you today. I've got breakfast battles coming up this week. So, I mean, there are some positives to look forward to. So I'm going to focus on that. I want to say thank you to everyone in the chat, like Math Mallow, who just subscribed, everyone on Patreon, merci beaucoup, bienvenue, and then we are sat, Owen, waiting for, maybe this will be the last show we do before the winter FAQ.
Oof, yes, that whole new world of plus minus 10 points and internet. I can't wait. It's like it's almost like 2021 hasn't started yet because we haven't had our FAQ, have we? There are people like primed. They've got all their army in their little basket online with some retailer that gives them 20% off, and they can't press the button because they don't know whether that they're going to be able to squeeze some Aether Wings in or not, or a CP with those extra 20, 30 points.
Maybe a Malevolent Maelstrom as an endless spell. They could do but anything. Thanks, Camera Fate Weavers, for resubscribing. 2 months in a row. Big love to you. Chuckabitty, what about Saturday reveals, though? What's cooking in the rumour oven? Well, we'll do that. We're going to do a whole show on Saturday, so if you guys are excited. I think me, Nick, and Tom are doing the Pox Walker Challenge on Saturday while also doing a React, which is where all of us try and speed paint 10 Pox Walkers so you can do it the quickest. Are we going to put it in a shopping bag and then just shake it around with some wash? Find out. Anyway, looking forward to it. I hope you're all well. The Winter FAQ is self-isolated, apparently. right, okay. So, I can't press the button also because buying from the UK has become harder. Sorry, Marcus Rock. I apologize about that. Right, so there's been some event results. We're not going to do a super long show today because the time we normally spend doing prep earlier has been destroyed by doing tech. So, I do have something to show. I'm going to go first, Owen, if you don't mind, and throw in some stuff. So, this is from last year, but still within what I call the season. So, season, like, the first half of the season, first season of GHB 2020, which is obviously from its launch until whenever the Winter FAQ is. Winter FAQ, it marks the embarkation of Season 2 or the summer season. Owen, we get to decide. Like, we... as a community, Monday show. Not everyone listens to us, but you know, they're probably losers. We get to decide: are we going to call it the summer season and the winter season? How are we going to de-embarkate the two? We've got all. We'll always have from summer new edition and or GHB to winter to summer. But how do we? Do you know what I mean?
It's not very good to put me on the spot. What do you reckon? No, hold on.
And also, Pask makes a good point. It's summer where he is.
Oh, man. Yeah, and because it's an international community, I don't think we can't make it weather sort of. We can't base the name of it around the weather or anything because it's going to be different all the way around the world.
Marcus Rock makes a good suggestion. Top season and bottom season.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that. Season one, season two, like it's some sort of box set of delights. I don't know.
GHB 2020 season one. I think season one and season two is probably the easiest thing for us to like work out. call it AM and PM. Right, you guys keep making suggestions in the chat. I'll talk about what we've got going on here. So over in Singapore, which Owen was giving me some advice. Owen, I think, has got some information for me about Singapore. Because thought it was in China.
Yeah, yeah. It's not in China, no, Rob. It's a separate sovereign island state, country, I want to say. Yeah, it's its own country. Because there was fear over, you know, when we, when some people voted Brexit, then we were going to become like the Singapore of Europe was the idea. So I think Singapore is like a low tax, high energy sort of business center. And it's just on the southern tip of Malaysia, I believe. I think that's all I know about Singapore. Lots of skyscrapers, lots of technology and lots of low taxes. But I'm sure there's people in the chat who can... sort of give more accurate information than that. But they play Warhammer there. That's what we need to know, isn't it, Rob?
Well, also, a couple of things I want to say. Number one, thank you very much to Zeldor for donating 14 quid to the show. You're very much appreciated. It's going straight into printer resin. That's exactly where it's going, so I can build terrain. You're an angel. Thank you very much. That's enough to build almost two or three buildings worth of terrain. So that's fucking great of you. Secondly, I think it's the home of Crazy Rich Asians, Owen, and therefore... I obviously want to play Warhammer there because I don't know if you've seen how sassy Crazy Rich Asians, the film. Have you watched the film?
No.
Amazing. Absolutely best 2 hours of your life you could waste. Probably don't do it, but I loved it. Yeah, you got to do things when you're whatever. Right, okay. So this information here is from the Gallant Games in Singapore. It happened in December, but again, it was in the bottom half, top half of GHB 2020, whatever we're calling it, season one. It was a 5-round, 2,000-point tournament, as you can see here. The most popular army, though, was Blades of Khorne, which I thought you'd be happy about, Owen.
Yeah, and not only that, I think I didn't really look into it a great deal, but I believe it's Archeon Khorn, like Archeon Reapers of Vengeance Khorn. So
it is.
Yes, there's a fine caliber of gamer in Singapore then, isn't there? Absolute heroes.
Yeah, yeah. And this is Gwaynor. Yes, Gwaynor sent us all this information. So he sent this into the Age of Sigmar Stat Center Discord. So if you do want to know where that is, and you do have events happening around the world, even if they're tiny little events, we'd like to talk about it. Especially these, like, it's not a particularly well-attended event, like, but it's a small little community that's going to grow, and it's nice getting them shout-outs. I think that's super fun. Why wouldn't we go? Owen, obviously, post-COVID, you and me are going to Singapore to play Warhammer there. We already are going to the northern wastes of Russia. Singapore also on the list. Yeah.
Don't call it the northern wastes. For starters, it's in the south. If we're going to, what's it called? It was called Novosibirsk, I remember correctly. Yeah, we're going to the Icehammer GT, aren't we? Me and you in those big hats, those furry hats, taking out the locals. We're probably going to get smashed because the Russians are really good at Warhammer. But anyway, they're on the list along with the Singapore community, right, for the worldwide tour.
For the worldwide tour. Apparently, we're also going to the Legendary War Games in Bangkok, apparently, Thailand. They've got an insane setup. I did not know that. That's amazing. We're going to check that out as well. This is great. Novosibirsk is really cold, mate. That's fine. We'll be fine. Anyway, so they didn't have lots of people attending. So there was only one Stormcast Eternal player, one Mortis Patronus. But they had a little 5-game event, which I think is super sweet. Like, and that's not me trying to be disrespectful. I'm like, fucking go them. Yeah, you guys are brilliant. Let's smash it. Super proud of you. I'd love to know what the Singaporean meta is. Also, if you guys do hold events and you want to not only just send us the stat breakdown or the results or whatever you want to do, please do send us pictures as well. I would love to picture where you guys are playing from. I think that would be awesome. So again, there's that Discord available. You can tweet us, you can link us, any of those things that you want to do, and we'll get involved. The results, though, I'm just trying to get the image up, Owen, because again, I was trying to be more prepped, but the disaster. Right.
The main thing that we need to clarify though is that we want git picks are the main pick.
An occasional git pick.
Yeah, a zoomed in photo of a netter on the front line of a block of 60. That's like chef kiss. That's what I want to see. That's what gets Nathan's waters stirring, isn't it?
Quick reminder for anyone who wants to take a picture of gits and send them to Nathan on Twitter. He'd love that. Just tweet him all the time. Right, so it was won by Jason Wang. Yeah, no jokes, please. By Ineth Deepkin. Now, what was super cool, the guys that organized this information that they sent to us. So again, thank you so much to Gwenor for doing so. He gave us like a little breakdown, which has actually kind of been one of the ways I've been during the Super Series and generally looking at lists in the future. I mean, a bit like we're talking in the chat by, who called it? Iron Gutsman, gorgeous man. He said, you know, when you're talking about Stormcast, you don't need to know the list. He just played Shootcast. Right. Mm-hmm. So like you don't really sometimes need to actually get these break. You don't need every unit in the list. And that's what's nice about this little army build summary that they've also sent us as well. Right. Mm-hmm. So this Ineth Deepkin list had eels. It had a Leviadon and it had Alapexes. So it didn't just have eels. And those Alapexes, like we talked about before, obviously this was in December. Those Alapexes are going to be terrifying, I think, in Age of Sigmar over in season two of 2020.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, much like many sort of island nations or sort of countries with lots of fishing on the perimeter or around the shores, then they do like a mixed fish platter here in Singapore as well, don't they? So they've gone for a little bit of everything: some Alapex, some Mortar, a little bit of Leviadon. So he's had the mixed fish platter and he's brought it to the table and smashed everyone else off. Yeah.
I mean, it's a coastal country, I imagine. No idea.
It is, Rob. It's an island nation. Yes. So I'm not surprised that Deepkin rose to the top there.
Good.
Sorry, I'll stop with the puns now. Do carry
on. That works for me. So in second place was Jack Chan. Now, that's all I'm going to say. I'd be excited if that was Jack Chan. Well done. So he's got a Blaze of Khorne army, which is, like you say, Archeon in Reapers of Vengeance. So that was in second place. And in third place, we got the Daughters of Cain list as well, which I think, let me just find it here. Daughters of Cain was Marathi with Witch Elves. And there was also some Melisai in the build as well. So at least a fun little tournament. I was going to ask you, how impactful after a couple of weeks do you think that the Marathi build and the Marathi change has been for like competitive Daughters of Cain? Do you think it's at least brought some eyes back to Daughters of Cain? You know, people are like, do you know what, they are really good, and then it's more people focusing on it. Or do you think like it's just been a power level upgrade from Marathi?
She slaps much harder now and has still got the great rules in terms of not being able to be killed. And I think they removed the ability for her to take wounds in between the phases, which was like, you know, getting her with a cheeky pendulum or something was often the way that you could knock her down. And yeah, the fact you can't kill little Marathi, and she's great on the objective play. We did see that wicked list by Corey Papp over in Australia, the Calibron teleporty one with the mirror dance and Laoshan. So I think that there's lots of different ways to play. I don't really think it's like elevated the army a huge amount, but everyone just likes to dust off the stuff that they haven't played for a little while for one reason or another and get it. But I've also seen quite a lot of UK tournament players putting together Daughters armies and posted them on Twitter. So I think we are going to see them in real life as well when we get back to playing. It's good. It was always good. They've got some new rules, very much like Ideneth, right? You know, they were good and now they're better. So, and everyone, you know, there's a lot of that army around. So we're going to see it more and more, I think.
Yeah, Ideneth were great. And now all that's happened is they've got better and they've got list diversity as well. Like, which is kind of interesting, because when you do think about Ineth before, not that being mono eels was really a negative for them, but at least you understood what was going on. Now they do have some different unit roles. So the inclusion of Leviathan, for instance, is a significantly different unit roll. So you could clear a unit of eels if you could get to them. They weren't overly survivable. However, the Leviathan now provides, obviously, makes all those eels a little bit more survivable than they once were, but also in of itself is a tanky piece, which the Eidneth kind of lacked previously. So they've also got like diversity in like problems that they can present as well. So fun there. But yeah, all of, the whole book's good. So it's a massive upgrade. Okay, so without much else to talk about, there was an event. So Simon Hall's event, Gold Combat. Me and you are going to do a show on all those lists on Thursday.
Yes. Yeah. Simon sent me all the lists. So we're gonna dig into those together. And I think we discussed earlier. So yeah, Thursday we'll do a show for Gold Con. I think we've got about 60 players there, so should be some really good lists mixed in. So other than that, it's there's been a lot of games going on in the Butcher's Tribe tournament,
which just for everyone at home, real quick, is a team tournament organised by PASC online. Between teams of three, and then they obviously do the normal draw process. They play the pairings. Some pretty interesting matches. Your team up against the Bin team. Excited to hear how that is going. Round one. They're doing it in pool stages with the winners of the pools going through into a knockout series towards the end. Seems really exciting. Again, I have I've messaged past on Discord. I'm going to message him straight after this show. Me and him are going to talk about it in detail at some point. But you have been keeping track of some of the games that have happened so far, right?
Yeah. Obviously, I've got my hat in the ring here because I am playing in it. So I've been watching quite a few of the round one games and doing a bit of, you know, getting the old binoculars out, checking out some of the competition. But yeah, round one's all done. Shout out to Steve Follows, who's been supporting PASC, and he's set up a really excellent spreadsheet to track sort of the tables as such. So yeah, it's like you say, three-man teams. There's 28 teams, so there's seven pools with four teams in each, and effectively, much like any team tournament, all the players from one team will play all the players from another team. And it's standard 2K match play. You have the same list all the way through the whole tournament, and you play the same, everyone plays the same battle plan for the first round. So, you know, we all played Battle for the Pass in this last round. Effectively, there are three, obviously, if you best the team and 3-0 against them, then you're going to win the round, but you'll also win the round with a 2-1. So effectively, to get through, only the top team in each pool goes through. So you really do need to basically, the long and the short of it is you need to win the round. So you need to get a 2-1 for the team in each of the three rounds, or a 3-0, and then win, and then you get to progress. And so the winner of each pool, so the seven teams go through, and then the top high scoring second place team goes through as well, effectively think of it like a sports tournament. So there's a group stage, which is what we're in now, and then you go sort of quarters, semis, and a final. After that first round, the first round of games, there are certain teams that have really put, planted a flag, and shown that they are, you know, they're not to be messed with. And I thought we could have a look at a few of those teams and a few of those lists, if you like, to, just in terms of list archetypes and things like that.
So I've got the some of the information on the screen for you guys now, thanks to a Google Doc. Mm-hmm. So in pool one, it seems like Team Bin has taken the lead so far on their tournament points being 58. They've achieved six auxiliaries, and they seem to have put the biggest score on the board at the moment, right? Out of everyone.
Those, and also the Angry Alpacas, the Russian, the team made up of the Russian ETC members. Well, I certainly know Phillips in the Russian ETC, and I'd imagine he's brought a couple of his pals with him. But yes, Team Bin and the Angry Alpacas Team Bin are in pool one, and then the Angry Alpacas down there in in pool four. They've put some solid, they put the best run of results together in the first round of games.
By 2 points. Team SYM, they've got 56, and all six secondaries. Team AAE, 56, 5 secondaries. So Serafoni's 57, 6 secondaries. So still, like, really close across the board. I think, actually, interesting pool is pool 3 with Nosgoth have only gone and got 40 on their running TP total with 6 secondaries. So I think that's quite interesting as well. I know that's just early days, but still lots to look at.
Yeah, definitely. And the Nosgoth team, that's members of the Finnish ETC. So that's Antu and Pete Moo or Pitari, who won the Butchers, the Butchers Buffet singles tournament. So that's a strong team. I know that they lost Cole, who's been doing well with the Skaven in singles tournaments. He's on the Immovables team along with Dan Arnold, who was on the Trollslayers for the Super Series.
Yes, lovely guy.
So, yeah, so those guys, I know that it was, yeah, Cole managed to win with, he's running 45 Blight Kings and Bellicor, so he was able to beat an OBR team. So that makes that pool really tight, as you say. Another one which to pick out is in pool 4. There's obviously two really big winners and two losers from the first round. So the Alpacas, as we mentioned, the Russian guys. And then Team Jank and Spank, they're only a point behind. So they also convincingly won their round against the Legions of Cities of Tzeentch. And that Team Jank and Spank, that's Stuart, Arthur, and also a chap called Hayden. So, I mean, and then, yeah, as you say, another team that did really well in the round is in pool 5, the Serafonis. I believe that's an All-American team, Bamdad, Kyle and Basil on that team. So we can have a little look at the breakdown of those lists, just in terms of archetypes. We won't go through every single list bit by bit, but just so people can see what those high-performing teams took, if you like, Rob.
Yeah, please. That would be great. There's a great question by Born Again Manchow, which I'd like to ask later, but yeah. Or unless you want to answer it first, then jump onto the teams.
Yeah, why not? Let's do that.
This is probably a question for another time, he says, but I'm asking it now. His question was, have you found the player behavior during the TTS tournaments? Is it something that's become a big topic or focus over the user community? Or is it pretty much like you would expect from a normal tournament? Like maybe a couple of disagreements here and there, but generally, like, pretty good.
Yeah, generally good. I think you do get the odd, I mean, players are very competitive and you have egos clashing sometimes, and sometimes you have personalities clashing. But overall, I mean, Pask will be able to chip in terms of his tournament. But you do have some disagreements, and there have been things put into the pack in terms of foul and abusive language and things like that. But generally, I would say 99% of games, if the pack is clear and there are clear instructions on sort of fringe case awkward rulings, and if it's all clear and the TO is making clear decisions, then you don't really get too many in-game disagreements and whatnot. Much like at a tournament. I mean, I think at Bobo, there was a fist fight once because they both wanted the wooden spoon.
That's a unique tournament in of itself. But yeah, that was that was hilarious.
Yeah, but other than that, you don't really, and you get salt when people don't like losing, because we don't like losing. But overall, to answer the question succinctly, it's great. On the whole, it's fine. Because also in this environment, in the team environment, if you are a dick and you lose your team points, you're not just playing for yourself, you're playing for your teammates as well. So
absolutely. I think teams is good, because sometimes you can get really emotional and you don't have anywhere to express it, but in a team, the other team can pull their slack, they can be that supportive element for you, which I think is really important as well. And ultimately, generally, because it's a game about being able to communicate with other people. So I think generally, if you play a lot, you generally, even if you start off with bad communication skills, eventually if you play Warhammer enough, you end up with good communication skills, I think is one of those key parts. And I think that's one of the bonuses of it. I just want to say thanks to Grandmaster Dan first. He said, hey, I get to watch stream, literally listen to every show. Really appreciate that. Sorry, I had a subscribe button. I don't really have any extra cash. Listen, if you do subscribe and support the show, I massively appreciate it. If you never have the power to do so and it's not within your funds, don't worry at all. Like, I completely understand. So you're all brilliant people. No stress at all. And then Pascal says in the chat, that's the other thing I really like about this tournament. Given you're playing a team, there's a lot less fluffing around and people are getting their games done in good time. I've actually finished this round 3 days early, says Pascal, which is good. All right, yeah, so talk to me about the team composition, Owen, because I think team composition is genuinely interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we start with the team that is top of the rankings, as it were, on Tabletop TO, that is that's the Angry Alpacas. I mean, it may just be on alphabetical order because they finished with 58 points. So they dropped 2 points during the round, the same as Team Bin. So the Alpacas, they are running just as a list archetype. One thing to note is that you're not allowed to take more than one army from the same Grand Alliance. That's why you're seeing a lot of Bone Reapers. But yeah, they've actually got a really interesting set of lists here, the Alpacas. I thought it would be very much like the Net lists, and they're great armies, but Philip's running Tzeentch, so two drop, change host, eternal conflagration. That's probably the most cookie cutter that you would see. I think that that specific list is bopping around in quite a few of the teams. It's very good. So, you know, Exalted Flamers, I think it's got 12 Flamers, a Lord of Change, obviously, and then the Change Caster, the guy who gives all the rerolls. It's basically just teleport, hose, you know, 20 pinks to hold objectives and generally be really annoying. God, it's really good.
I love pink horrors so much. Not as much as I love pirate pink horrors, but I like pink horrors a lot.
Yeah. And then there is, I think his name is Istmus. He's running Seraphon. And you kind of go, okay, it's Dracothian's Tail, which you see a bit less than Fangs, but I think is really strong. And he's got the Slan and the Croak together, and the Slan has, I think it's Celestial Equilibrium, so it gives you the plus. So you can basically have Croak on +4 to cast with that. And then he's got 6 Sallies. No, actually, that might be wrong. My apologies. He's got Salamanders, but he also has 2 units of Aetherwings and the Vanguard Hunters with the Long Strike Crossbows in there as well. So he's got lots of reach and lots of ways to threaten the opponent if he does get given that first turn. Because obviously lots of the Seraphon lists are high drop. So if he can keep stuff off the board with the Dracothian's Tail and drop it in outside of 9. He's got a teleport, obviously, because he's Starborn. And then he's got the range with these long strikes. And again, I would like to see if somebody in the chat who's more experienced with Stormcast, but I think that the Aetherwings charge blocking is dependent on the combination between them and the Longstrikes War Scrolls. It's not specific to the Stormcast book, no. So he's brought that charge block element in as well. So Seraphon, because they are quite fragile, especially if they get alpha'd, then he's got some alpha protection there as well. So it's a great list, and I'm not surprised for him to do well with that. And then finally, Rob, again, in a sea of OBR lists, like, you have to take either a destruction or a death. We don't have to, but you tend to find there's one chaos, one order, and then people are choosing out of destruction or death. And in a sea of OBR and more tribes, then the Alpacas have brought a Legion of Grief list.
Really? Which is
good. Yeah, really good one as well. So 2 blocks of 20 Bladegeists. And then he's got Penumbral Engine in there, and he's obviously looking to farm, and he's got a Necromancer so they can double pile in. So my notes just say double pile in pop-up ghosts. So basically he's going to be YOLOing forward 20 Bladegeists. I think he's got the little characters in there which give them rerolls. They can retreat and charge, I believe, or run and charge Bladegeists. Again, I'm maxed out my information on this. I'm not across everything. But yeah, basically he's going to be YOLOing Bladegeists in, generating CP, bringing them back, YOLOing them in. Yeah, they're fast, they can fly. Yeah, it's really good. A bit like Krigs Luntan, you covered that, and I think you saw a grief. You covered a grief list there, didn't you? Yeah, retreat and charge. Thanks, Mr. Tej.
In Krigs Luntan, it was being used really, really well. Actually, I think it was only the fact that he lost a priority and he was up against big bricks of gluttons, which is just a nightmare situation. Because I don't think he necessarily had all that money. So it's a great army, and has it been reintroduced or is legal because. Or because of Forbidden Power was in Forbidden Power? It was.
Yeah, so it was, yeah.
So because that got FAQ'd as being allowed, Legion of Grief still applicable. And it really is just Nighthaunt, Legion and Nagash, ultimately. And Legion and Nagash, I mean, that's still a great command ability. I mean, the ability to just regenerate units for a CP is wild. It really is. I think summoning has generally been curtailed since Sinesh got dropped back. The other summoning that you see around the board is like whatever. Like it's not. There isn't what once was the scary summoning. Even Seraphon, obviously, but they presented new problems. So really, that Legion Nagash command ability is still an untapped. It's a very old world kind of like 2-3 year ago kind of setup. which we don't really have in the game anymore.
No. And I mean, people thought that it died when they removed realm artifacts from the GHB 2020. So you used to see there's, I think it's called Vassal of the Craven King or something. It's basically, it gives you five up. Every time you spend a CP, you get one back on a five up. So then they used to combo that with Aether Quartz Brooch. So every time you spend a CP, you roll two dice and get a CP back on a five up. So I've played games where people have run like burnt through 40 CP against me. So you're just like, you can spam command abilities all over the place, bring back units. So people thought it died when that went away. But shout out to, I played him at the Dutch GT. Basically, there's a really good player over in the Netherlands who runs Legion of Grief and has been winning tournaments and getting podiums with it. His name escapes Nico. Yeah, Nico over in the Netherlands has been smashing it with Legion of Grief. So it's still got game, definitely. Yeah, there we go. Moon Tyranid Nico, that's right. He's been doing well. So I'm not surprised to see that pop up, but it was really nice to see something other than OBR, double catapult, you know, Mortis Praetorians, which is bloody everywhere. That's the alpacas. So
that's the alpacas. I mean, can I just say one of the things you should be listening out for is the team composition and why that might be interesting. Thank you to MJ Pegasus, by the way, for donating £1.24 6 to 69. You got to look at the team composition. The Legion of Grief is an important kind of like element in there. You think, okay, that's interesting. What are they looking to solve? What problems are they looking to, what problems are they looking to cause in a team setup, really? And like you say, you would expect to see, but everyone's going to have to bring, you can only have one Order army, one Chaos army, and one either Death or Destruction. And obviously, Chaos and Order are the two that you're going to see most commonly with either a Fringe, Death, or Destruction pick. I would probably argue. And so really, what are they looking to achieve there that they decided they didn't want to go for OC Arcs, they didn't want to go for Flesh Eater Quartz, and instead, you know, they didn't want to go for Stonehorns. So for some reason, not Sons of Behemoth. Who knows? Anyway, what was it? Who knows? Not me!
That's the alpacas. They're looking at team bin. So there's some recognizable players on this. You've got Luke Morton, Simon Hall, and then the UK Master Dan Bradshaw. Uh-huh.
That's three exceptional players at the end of the day.
Yeah. And they won all of their games against the Finnish C team. They're no joke. You got Seb on there, Age of Sedmar, Mark Wilson, the TO from Blood Tithe. So, you know, good players.
Great players.
So yeah, they obviously took out all three wins. So Luke's running Slaves of the Darkness, Knights of the Empty Throne, Plague Touch, Varangard, one drop, which is disgusting.
So that Knights of the Empty Throne that I kicked off last summer, my lists.
There's so much ego in Warhammer. Oh my god, everyone's. I don't really know who ran that first, but anyway,
I'm pretty sure it was me. Like Stream Street, like 24 or whatever it was. Whatever.
One thing, yeah, as Pascal says, he's very afraid of Archaon, which he is, because if you roll the double six, then you put all nine Varangard in the sword. That is the way that is ruled. So that's fun.
Can I just thank Nilia for subscribing? Because it's the first time he's subscribed, so he's just in the gang now, first time. So massive love to you for joining the team. Well done, welcome, and thanks to Grim Slacker for donating £20 to the show. You're an angel. That's going straight into resin again. More terrain. You guys will see. I'm going to fucking print the biggest thing to give away. Owen, it's going to be so good. Please continue.
Plague Touched is disgusting. It's just a really amazing list. It's just got like rerolls for days. He's got a teleport. He's got a Brick of Nine Varangard that are 45 wounds on a two-up rerollable save. They ignore spells on a five-up. They can pile in and attack twice. You can't retreat from them. They've got a six-inch pile-in. They can go twice once per game. And if they die, then a unit of three pops back up anywhere on the board outside of nine. And then you've got Sorcerer Lords to give the reroll saves, demonic power, like
reroll to hit the wound. They're marked Nurgle, so they're innately -1 to hit from shooting as a bubble, which is just wild. They do damage, +1 damage on sixes to wound, which with that many attacks is a lot. Piling attack twice. It's awesome that Varangard are getting this look in now. right? Because they're aggressively pointed, right? They're 100 points per model. It's 300 points for three, you know.
Now they've come down, man. They're 280.
Oh, okay. So 280. I mean, still, that's a lot, right? It's only five wounds on each one of those for nearly 100 points to go. But it's five quality wounds is the point, I think.
Ah, yeah. They, like... the thing with the plague touches, okay, right, they're so tanky. For example, in this meta, in the Butcher's tournament, you know, there's lots of crawlers. So screw shooting crawlers at something with a 2-up save. So it's like, okay, I'm going to go and fight them with my Mortec. And then every time you do a 6 to wound, it does a mortal wound back to you. So if you try and go in there with your powered up combat unit, you'll probably end up killing yourself before you kill them. Mm-hmm. So you're like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Everything in the list's got a good save. Apart from the Marauders, and then, you know, those Marauders, generally you see two blocks of 20 rather than a full 40, and they're able to, you know, you can buff them up, YOLO them in, and then charge tag stuff. So like Alpha Tag, you know, I watched Luke just basically YOLO 20 forward into Seb's Eels kind of castle, and he was able to like tag him in and basically, and then you give your Varangard some time to get forward, and obviously with a 6-inch pylon they've got a 22 inch threat range which you don't actually need to charge with, because you just you can move 10, run 6, pylon 6, and yeah, it's really hard. You can't tag the block because they can just retreat out and then pile back in again, so yeah, it's a spicy meatball, Rob. A spicy, nurgly meatball.
It is. It is. And also, like you said, I think that Plague Touch War Squad Battalion is so good. So powerful. Yeah. I mean, it's great. And the command ability, which we rarely talk about as well, for that clutch pick. If you remember, you've got the command ability, the CP, to reduce how many units hold an objective. There's loads from picking that list, which is why I think you're seeing people like Luke, who's such a good gamer and has performed so well at tournaments all around the world, and is in a solid team, and people like Mark Wilson. You know, there's so many people playing that list because it's just solid, and also requires some playing as well, I think, is one of those key bits.
Yeah. I think the more I've played the game, the more I love the synergistic, like those heavily synergistic lists with lots of overlapping buffs and lots of flex. So in both Mark's list and in Luke's list, you see double War Shrine. So, you know, you fail your 3-up prayer, because the 3-up prayer in Nurgle is +1 save, reroll wounds. And obviously, if you get double damage on a 6 to wound, then rerolling wounds is great. So, yeah, they put those two pieces in. So double
reroll, War Shrine. Rerolling wounds, not rerolling failed wounds.
Yes.
So you're fishing for sixes. In some situation. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah, okay.
It's amazing. Like, if people want to play with Varangard, like, it's amazing. Can confirm. So the rest of their list, Simon Hall, this is, who covered in CanCon Game 5. He's the only KO player in the whole tournament, and he's playing the 2-drop double battalion Barrack Zilfin list with the spell in the bottle, Vortex. So he's got an ironclad, two frigates, 30 Arcanauts, some engine riggers, and then the heroes that he needs to fill out the rest of the battalions. So, yeah, it's pretty gross. Like, that'll win some game. I think he beat Mark Wilson in the round. He beat the 1-drop plague touch with that KO. So even with -2 to shoot on the small heroes and -1 to hit on everything else, he was still able to get through all of that plague induced meat. So yeah, that was a great result for Simon. And then Dan is running a list. There's a lot of double crawler lists, but Dan's gone all in. He's gone balls out with triple crawler. So he's got Mortis Praetorians without Catacross. I think it's a solid pick. He's put Xantos in there instead. And then he's got, he's managed to get it all in. I don't know how he's managed to squeeze everything in, but he's got the battalion with three. So he's got three units of Mortec. I think it's a 20 and two 10s. He's got five Death Riders, three Catapults, a Harvester, a Bone Shaper, and Xantos. So he's got a decent amount of, RDP. Xantos is gross for giving reroll all wounds when the crawlers shoot.
Is it to one crawler or all the crawlers?
It's to one crawler. So you do need six relentless discipline points to give each crawler one attack and reroll wounds.
But
So it's
you can,
reroll.
but you can give it to multiple.
Yes, you can indeed give it to multiple. Yeah.
Wow. So if you did get six RDP, it's plus one attack on each crawler. So you've got 12 attacks rerolling to wound.
Yeah, basically it's 12 attacks, twos to hit, and then it's threes to wound, rerolling ones against everybody, but rerolling everything against chaos. Yeah, basically fuck that. It's just yeah, so yeah, he I
That'd be
didn't see this.
so fun to play turn one. It's like they just take the first turn, you'd be like, sweet, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Like I don't know. There's been so many mirror matches. So that was he played an OBR mirror match, and I didn't see this going right. Like I didn't think that when people are running crawlers in an OBR mirror, my thoughts were because I had an OBR mirror, I was like, I'm going to pick off like the support heroes or try and pick off the harvester. But everyone's just going like crawl hot crawler on crawler action. There's basically a lot of skellies running towards each other slowly in the middle of the board, whilst each other they're just fucking firing catapults at each other, like each other's catapults. So.
I don't get that. My first, I'd just take out the guard. That would be my target.
Yeah, there's a lot of cute things you can do, but I mean, in my game, Rob, I didn't even talk to you about this, but somehow, I'm not going to bang on about my own game too much, but it probably was one of my greatest ever victories. I lost both my crawlers to his crawl to my opponent's crawlers before I had turn two. I basically didn't make a save. It's just like it gives you fucking like anxiety thinking about it. Like I just rolled ones and twos on all my crawlers and they both of them died before my turn two.
Wow.
Yeah, so
What's
people
funny
should.
is I can't think of many things that would take out a crawler at range other than other crawlers.
Yeah, but then like people who are running Catacross, if he's had the opportunity to get the command ability up, then they're on a three up save. So it's like my reference to that is because in Dan's game I did see that he had three crawlers on the board and his opponent had zero. So he shot off all of his opponent's crawlers with his crawlers, and then he was just sat there like, sweet, well I've still got my artillery battery and you've just got to walk towards me while I continue to pummel you with skulls from above.
Like Desert Sketch says, establishing artillery dominance. I guess it's like establishing air superiority, but old world. Okay, all right.
So yeah, he won his OBR mirror, and yeah, one of many mirrors that I did see happening through the course of this round. And yeah, so they got their three wins as well, just like the alpacas. And then I can quickly run through the other two teams that have really sort of planted a flag.
Yep,
So
yep,
let's
yep.
start with the this is the Seraphonies. So they are taking this is Bamdad, Kyle, and Basil. As I say, I think it's an all-American team. They have an OBR list, which is a different one. No crawlers, Mortis Praetorians. They've spent over 1,000 points on characters. They've got Catacross, Xantos, and Ark in the Black. And then the rest of it is literally just I think there's a brick of 15 Death Riders and then some skeletons. So different kind of list. I think he's probably going to send Catacross is going to be combat Catacross in this. Well, I think everything's just going to, it all wants to just go in and fight. And it's all going to be on plus one save. So all the Mortec are on a three up save. Again, in my game, Rob, just to tell you how disgusting Mortis Praetorians is, I charged in 40 block of swords because I'm playing Petrifex. So 120 attacks, hitting on twos, exploding on sixes. Ren 2, damage 1, and I killed 8 skeletons. Yeah, that's what I was doing. As well as crying, I was laughing. It's fucking busted as hell. OBR was still great. If it wasn't for all the shooting, they're amazing. But anyway.
They've not changed. Like they just aren't Petrifex anymore, but they still have got all the good stuff. They don't have CP, so it's like Teclis is like 2 CP for that. You're like, it's not even CP, baby. Screw you. Like you can't steal it. Like they just have got a ton of free abilities, which is all good. They're great. They're a great army. Like flawless and super fun. I imagine. Like I've said this time and time again, as a profile, an amazing army. They're like, you buy two crawlers, you buy some infantry, you buy a sweet ass looking dude on a horse, yeah, and you're like, how good does this army look? And if I'm like, yeah, apart from the faces, pretty great ass army. Like, it plays really... What I like about the... I won't get into the narrative on the kind of competitive show. But, like, it ties in, really, with how you would expect, like, a more traditional army to look. But it's a weird, bony army, right? It's got good artillery, good cavalry, good infantry, good characters, good magic support. It's a good army.
Yeah, and then you get to just sort of, like, flavour to taste as you like. You know, it's battle shock immune... It's got a really obnoxious control element, sort of the Nexus. It's got a great terrain piece, and then you're right. It's like, do you go heavy infantry? Do you go heavy on the catapults? Do you go all cavalry? I think it's great, and I think that's why it's popping up so much. So I think it's Kyle that was running the OBR. There's an Ogres list. The first Ogres list. This is Blood Got It. Double Stonehorn and loads of Mournfang in Yerlbad, so they're doing like mortal wounds on sixes to hit, which is just a bit of extra poke. So he obviously did well there. And then the last one is what I call the fun sponge. This is just like, if you want to put people off playing Warhammer when you take this to your local shop, it's Fangs of Sotek Seraphon. It has a croak, 80 skinks and 6 salamanders. And it's really, really, really good.
But don't forget the 5-star Oscardo in. Don't forget the Croak's ablative wounds.
Yeah, the cheerleaders, as I like to call them. They're there. All they do is they bang their spear against their shield the whole time, going, boss is good, boss is good. Go, go. Some shit like that.
However, in better news, Bound Geminids, not in the list.
No. He's got a CP in there because that's the one thing that Fangs don't like being is Alfred. So, as you saw with Casper and his Bray Shaman Kairos Archeon shenanigans in one of the Hammer Time tournaments. But, but it's a team tournament. So everyone's taken the hotness, right? I mean, in fiction, we've taken Seraphon. So, you know, it's brilliant. Teleport, hose things down, summoning, CP for days. Board-wide mortals retreat when they charge. You know, you get to shoot them and potentially retreat. It's bloody brilliant. So, good on them. They got their 3 wins. And then rounding it out, again, the one of the top 4 teams, this is Team Jank and Spank. So this is the Australian team. So Stuart Iron Guts McCarran, Arthur Vulgaris, and Hayden. Sorry, I don't have Hayden's surname. And then this is Stuart is running Zeench Archeon in Host Duplicitous. I know.
Oh, in Host Duplicitous is nice.
Yeah.
Which team? What's the team name again, Owen?
It's Team Jank and Spank, and I've been informed it's Hayden Ford. So yeah, this is Jank and Spank, which is what they're looking to do. It's like I think he might be going for, he might have you close to his heart, Stuart, because I believe that his list has got 69 wounds. I'm not sure.
He's my T-Sports celebrity star of 2020, actually. My pick at
look
least.
At that. 69 wounds. What a hero.
Archeon, Kairos, Chaos Sorcerer Lord, 2x 10 pinks, 10 acolytes as well, Umbral Spell Porter, and Lauquan, the Soul Seeker, the bringy dingy, in there. Fascinating. Throwing the pinks forward, I imagine. What's nice about that in the Lauquan Soul Seeker is you can kill a pink because you have to take one out and it's slain. And if you want to, you can use the one on the CP and you can put another one back in. So you can give yourself a little cheeky. Because it pops, you can put the pinks down so you can give yourself, you can put them forward, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. afterwards. So then you don't have to do a 9-inch charge. You could do like an 8-inch charge. You might even be able to do probably just an 8, which is a fun little bonus thing that you can do. Am I making sense?
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, no, it would be a 7 because you get 1-inch gap and then you get to put your model down. So, yeah. So you don't have to use a 5 and a 4 from your Destiny dice. You can use a 4 and a 3.
Yeah.
You know, that big brain play.
Yeah.
There you go, Stuart. Thank you. So that's awesome. And I mean, we did see, I think it was at Slaughter, Mark Wildman ran HD Archeon, didn't he?
He did.
Not being able to retreat from Archeon and him being -1 to hit in combat is a bit obnoxious. And then obviously, you know, Destiny Dice and all the other fun stuff. So yeah, I'm not surprised to see him win. Arthur, he brought the same list that he did really well in the Butcher's Buffet tournament. I think he came fourth in Butcher's Buffet with Praetorians. And this is double Liege. This is a Liege Cavalos and Xantos. So he's getting those lovely reroll wounds again. He's got the Cavalos, who's got Helm of the Ordained, which is a great pick. I have that in my list. It's just an AoE of +1 to hit, wholly within 12. So, you know, you can negate Lookout Sir on the crawlers, or you can make them more tech, more punchy. Soul Mason, and then he's got 60 skeletons, a harvester, and double crawler. I think these Mortis Praetorian lists, the cookie cutter one tends to be two crawlers, a harvester, and then Catacross rather than the lieges. But I don't like that so much, because you tend to find that you might have to have 900 points at the back of the board because the +1 attack is wholly within 12 from Catacross. So I think if you're going to take Catacross, he's got great control, but you need to put him into your opponent and you know, do some
forward.
Yeah, you need to do some damage with him. Otherwise, he doesn't pay for himself.
I ultimately like this as well, because it's just more bodies on the board. I always find the Catacross lists, which perform really well, by the way, so no criticisms at all. Just for me, I prefer the more bodies. I feel like it'll get me out of a couple more situations in the long run. And like you say, it's more to throw forward and less to keep back, which I think is interesting. But, the Catacross lists still do incredibly well, so there's no criticisms there at all. And then a good old Deepkin list. Although, look at those two Leviadons.
Yeah, yeah. Double Leviadon, like, that is not a meme list. This isn't him, like, going, oh, I've got, this is my list that I play with at home and it's fun. Like, this is actually really, really gross. Like, those Ishlian Guard, they're going to be on probably a one-up save, turn one. Eidolon and Mathlan aspect to the storm is great with the Cloud of Midnight into, like, you know, shooting, because obviously they have to target the closest unit. And then he puts himself forward, and then he puts the cloud up, and you have to target him, but then you can't target him. And he can retreat and charge. And yeah, the Leviadons, like, they crush now. And I mean, that doesn't look like a lot on the board, does it? He's got like 1, 2, 3, 12, 18. He's got 20 models, Rob, and no summoning.
It's not,
and but
it is 20 models that start on a two up, and let you say they can control who gets shot at and where they get shot at, so that's also massively important. And then they only change from a two up to a three up for the rest of the game, so they're very, very survivable. But you're right, they don't have, but they're also ultra fast, so you're right that they don't have tons of support, and it would be nice to see some sort of mortal wound army be able to, like, hammer through them. But like I said, I think the thing that Leviadons, as I said earlier in the show, the thing the Leviadons have done to up the power level for Eidoneth at the end of the day is they provided a different role in the army, where it's like, very much we talked about early with the crawlers versus the Mortex, like, oh, the crawlers are shooting the crawlers. That's an interesting take, ultimately. I kind of get it. You're reducing the output from the other crawlers eventually, so you win in the long game. In this, it's like in any game, do I take out the support pieces? Do I take out the infantry? You know, very much like when you see Nagash play in an OBR list, you go, actually, I'll just try and take out all the OBR, and I'll maybe ignore a Nagash unless I've got 40 Marauders to hand. And then I take out all the... Yeah, normally you take out everything else when the big piece is on the board. But in this situation, taking out the big pieces is really problematic, because they're very, very tough to take out, right?
Yeah, and like Pask says in the chat, it's like the new, like 2021 post Broken Realms IDK. It's like everything's a threat. Like he says, like, you know, if you could put +3 techs. Well, you do see lists such as Matthew Goldsborough's running a list, and he's got some more of the attacking eels, the Morsar. And I think Seb in our pool has more Morsar. They don't need to wait till turn three. That's the problem now. Like, and I do see, like, into a shooting army, the Leviadon sort of turn, like a Leviadon alpha, especially when you've got two and you can throw one away, like pushing a Leviadon into your opponent early. They don't have the, their movement isn't bracketed anymore. Now, I think they just have a flat 12-inch, a 10-inch move. So they've got a decent flying threat range. So on those short 18-inch deployments, you can just go, okay, well, here's you know, a big lump of turtle that you have to shoot at. That's, you know, it can ignore minus one rend with the trait that he's got. I think Ancient ignores a pip of rend. And you have to shoot at it. So you can tag in, even if you don't tag in their army, they're going to have to just put so much resources into there, while the other stuff that's incredibly tanky can just float around, capping objectives, and then turn three, whatever he's got left, pump, you know, buff the shit out of it, send it all in, and kill the world. I think that's how it goes, right?
Yeah, that's basically how it goes. And like the Leviathan, yeah, it's scary. The fish people are here to stay, it seems. I mean, they're already doing well, but now you get to see some turtles doing it as well. So I don't have much to add to that. I feel like I've had the same conversation for three goddamn years about this list.
Yeah. It's nice to talk about Leviadons and Ishlane a little bit and Alapex. No Alapex actually there. So yeah, he's not looking to stop his opponent doing anything. Just sort of kill it all, I suppose.
Darker Design, thank you very much for resubscribing. Arju just says, hello, I've never played AOS, but I've been listening to this wargame for a while. Well, thanks very much for that, appreciate that. Though in these tournament type ones, you never mention Gloomspite. Well, we only mention what comes up. That's the problem with doing tournament coverage. We mention what comes up, and if it doesn't come up, it's tough to talk about. There are reasons why, but generally they're at the lower end of the bracket. And actually, every time you hear the word Mortec Crawler, mentioned by Owen, there's a Gits player somewhere in the world who faints. they just fall over. Yeah.
I don't know, Matt. You know, Mort, if you get some flingers on the board and deal with, you know, you can have that artillery battle from across the way, you know, three flingers versus three crawlers. No, if you want to hear Gits be talked about with love and affection, then you need to tune in on a Monday night, don't you? And just use the word netter, and then,
You'll be reet. I'm just going to put that in the chat so you guys can find the list there, and including the show notes as well. I'll include links to this amazing event. It looks super fun, and again, it's making me jelly of all the events going on, Owen. So that's pretty cool, right? That's all the teams, right?
That's the top four. I mean, there's some which we could have talked about, which are just outside of those, but those are the ones that accrued the most points in the first round of games. So they're the ones that have poked their heads up and said, you know, we're in it to win it. But even if you got a 2-1, such as the team I'm in, Fiction, or the Nosgoth guys, or Cobra Kai, Bad Moon Loons, there's lots of teams. Team AAE, we didn't talk about, but they got a 3-0, 56 points. So there's loads of teams who are still in with a chance of progressing through to the next round. So we'll have a chat about that. I think the rounds are 2 weeks, so maybe a fortnight today we'll be able to see where the tournament stands again.
Fun. Super fun. Very much looking forward to it. And then just FYI as well, this is a TTS event, very exciting, very fun to do. Loads of these are kicking off. Owen has been doing loads of them. There's a YouTube video I've put up so you can learn how to quickly kind of like set your army up and play. You can find that on the Nerdist Wargamer, send that to your friends, for anyone who you want to play with or anything else like that. And also there's another event that you can still sign up for, which Owen is also organizing as well, and there's one that's for competitive. And there's one that's super fun and meant to be a laugh. And Owen, you're going to talk about that now, right?
Yeah, just very briefly. I should have released the pack already, but it's proving to be quite involved. So I will be releasing the pack. So Hammer Time 7 is the Saturday, the 6th of Feb. And that is currently, we're at 49 players for that. And that's a pure competitive sort of straight up 2,000 points match play. And then the Sunday, we've currently got 27 people signed up for what I'm calling Titans of Gur. I've just put a link in the chat if anyone's interested. But yeah, basically that one is a Gargant-focused tournament where every army has to take a Mega Gargant. I've been working on the way in which that's scored. So some people were asking me about how it's going to sort of be pointed, because if you make it, like, okay, if you make it 2K and you take a Mega Gargan, then probably what most people do is see it as a tax, and then they'll just essentially try and, you know, someone said to me, oh, you can still take Change Host and a Mega Gargan, which isn't really in the spirit of things, is it now, Rob?
Nope, it is not. It's meant to be fun, and you're meant to have a laugh. And if you're not doing that, you're a bastard.
So to give people an idea, what I'm doing is you do get points for winning games and you lose points for losing games. Essentially, the whole tournament is going to be based around Gargant goals. So you score a certain amount of Gargant goals. So I thought I'd just give a little tiny bit of flavor as to what a few of these goals are. I sent some to you earlier, Rob. So basically, let me see if I open up the pack quickly, the provisional pack. Woo! So yeah, you can score points through the course of the day. So we have got, for example, Greedy Bugger is kill three enemy units during a turn with a Mega Gargant. Great feat for a big lad is that you kick an objective eight or more times using the Kraken Eater's get off me land ability. And then we've got some ones based around Proper Lucky is finish a game with one wound remaining on your Mega Gargant.
Nice. I like the idea that someone might try and organize that for themselves. They're like 11 wounds. That's not lucky enough. I'm gonna get myself in that scrap over there.
And then we've got Mage Eater is kill an enemy wizard. Spelly Belly kill three enemy wizards. Magical Farts is kill five enemy wizards. And then there are other ones that are to do with. I think my favorite one so far is because the theme of it is that in Ger there's a great civil war happening and there's the landscape has been ripped apart by the Necroquake and there's people aren't able to get natural resources, so everyone's getting a bit territorial. So all these townships and cities and settlements are hiring these gargants, and it's obviously at great expense. So I've got who hired this idiot is that your Mega Gargant dies on turn one of any game and you lose points. And then I'm never going to financially recover from this is if your Mega Gargant dies in all three games.
Perfect. That's perfect. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
So anyway, there's going to be about 30 of these Gargant goals. So anyway, yeah, through the course of the day, and that's what we're going to be covering, Rob. So on the Sunday, I think we're going to have a riot. I'm going to send you all of these Gargant goals, and we can have
I'm gonna make some. I've already decided I'm gonna make some graphics, so we're gonna have fun. And because, of course, not only is this an event you can go play at, but we will be doing coverage of it. So me and Owen, and the team. I know Dan, on supervisor, said he is like thrilled was the words he used. He was like, so James, Nathan, the whole crew will be doing some TTS coverage, which is going to be super fun. So I'm very much looking forward to it as much as everyone else. So that is on. The date is the 3rd and 4th.
6th and 7th.
Nailed it. So close. 6th and 7th of February, that weekend, so you guys can listen to us live, join in the Twitch chat. It's a weekend, so you can do some hobby at home while I got to tell you, if you want a fun and engaging group, just jump into the Twitch chat at that point, because we'll all be having a laugh and a riot. That's the point of the coverage, to have fun. So you guys so yeah, that'll be super, super good. And Tank, yeah, I'm going to talk to Pask after, so that'll be interesting. Okay. Owen, thanks very much for the show. It's been a blast today.
Yeah, we had a good laugh as usual, didn't we? I've had a migraine the whole time, so I'm going to go and lie down now and drink lots of water.
Can we all throw some love to Owen in the chat, please? And good reminder of everyone to drink some water. Absolutely. Yeah, go lie down, Owen. Eat some vegetables.
Yes, I'll do both those things imminently. But yeah, no, thanks, Rob. We got through the tech issues. We managed to kick all the rats out of the wiring. And
the problem is I shouldn't keep them there in the first place, so not recommended.
What with that and the bloody pigeon you've had stuck in the fan for months.
That's fixed. That's fixed.
You're like fucking Dr. Doolittle or something over there, aren't you? What's going on?
Oh, it's quite lonely in the TSN arena. Like it's a whole every time I walk out there's these eight tables covered in terrain, like, use me. And I'm like, they're like, if build it they will come. Field of Dreams would never have worked during COVID. Yeah, there he would have done hacking down his farm, and then he would have built the baseball field, and then they'd be like, well, no one's actually traveling because there's a travel ban. Like, oh, sad face.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Shit.
I bought all of these burgers and all these.
I'm so ready for this event.
All the food's going to go off. What about the. Yeah. Anyway.
One day. But before we get them, we're going to do all these TTS events. It's going to be super fun. Listen, you're all brilliant. Owen's an angel. We'll see you guys soon. The links will be put into the YouTube and the podcast notes by Scrivo. So you guys are great. Thanks to everyone who's joined Patreon. I need to thank all the people who donated Grimslacker. All you guys. You donated loads of cash, which is super lovely. Join even Patreon. Joel PLC. Thank you. Colonel Cabbage. You guys are great. We'll see you guys soon. Have a great day. Look after yourselves. Finger gun.
Thank you.